Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1015. That's page 1015. And beginning with verse 24, we'll read responsively through verse 30. Verses 24 through 30. And the text verse is the 29th verse. And may we stand together, please, for the reading of this passage. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants saith unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. And let's read also together the last verse. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And let's pray. And Father, for this service we ask thy help. We're a needy people, and represented here in this great book that we hold in our hands is a message for tonight. For the people who are here in this place. And so we pray that you'd use the message, the messenger, bless our preacher, and help us to carefully weigh and hear the things that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, here we are again. We come to the place where we've been for lo, these many years, to open the same book to thousands of the same people, same preacher, same book, same building, and yet there's always something fresh and new about the Word of God. Bless us tonight as we glean from its pages. And give us what we need. Meet with us, instruct us, and in some cases, transform us tonight. Amen. I do not know what the greatest truth is needed, that is needed most by fundamentalists. I don't think that's a very good sentence. Let me try again. No, I won't try again. You know what I mean. I use bad English. You understand it better. But I do not know what truth is most needed by fundamentalists. But I wouldn't be surprised but that tonight the truth that I'm going to share with you would be ranked high on the list, if not on the top of the list, concerning the need of this church and fundamentalist everywhere. So I want you to follow me carefully as I deliver what I believe God once said in this place at this hour. Man is a mixture of good and bad. Because of that, anything that man builds or inhabits is likewise a mixture of good and bad. The good and bad are so interwoven in us that God tells us to not attempt to separate the good from the evil. A while ago we read together the parable of the tares, and I will not go tonight into the teaching of the parable of the tares, but to lift out one truth therefrom. The tares, that's the imitation wheat, that's the bad, grows with the wheat. That's a natural tendency for the laborers in the field to want to go and separate the tares, burn the tares. Are you listening now? And burn the tares and let the wheat live. But God says, no, no, don't do that. God said, let the tares grow with the wheat. You may get some of the wheat while you're getting the tares. And you don't know what is a tare and what is wheat. You don't know. So God says in the field, which is the world, and in the church, and I say church, I'm talking about the local church because that's the only church there is. God says everywhere you'll find the wheat and the tares. Now, the good and bad are interwoven. So that God tells us He does not want us to separate the good from the evil because we don't know for sure. Now, for example, bad men and good men live side by side. You cannot judge a man by where you find him. A good man may be with bad people. In fact, that's what the Bible says. The tares grow among the wheat. A tare looks like the wheat. Somebody said, well, this old fellow, he's on the church roll, and he's a drunkard, and runs around, lives an immoral life. He's a tare. No, he's not. No, he's not a tare. The tare is that which looks like the wheat. You think it is wheat. And the tares, look right this way now, young people, right this way. The tare looks like the wheat, and you can't tell the difference. For example, the good and bad not only live side by side, but bad and good live side by side in every man. Every man is good. Every man is bad. Good and bad live side by side in everybody in this room tonight. There's nobody but what is so good that he has no bad. And there's nobody but what that is so bad but what he has some good. You know, we think sometimes that we have found a field of wheat. We find a fella and say, boy, now there's a genuine fella. That fella's genuine. He's got it. He's the good man. There's not any tear in him. There's no bad in him. That's a good man. And all of a sudden, to your shock and sometimes disappointment, you see a tear, something bad in him. You see a Barnabas. And you say, now, boy, there's a good man. That guy's got it. There's a field of wheat. Then one day you notice him having a falling out with Paul and refusing to join Paul on the second missionary journey. And you're prone to lose your faith in missionaries because there's a fellow that you thought was wheat manifesting some tear tendencies in his life. You see a Paul. And you say, now, boy, there's a field of wheat. I see no bad there. What a Christian. What a man. But you put your confidence in him. And you follow him for a while. Then one day you see him and you see his head is shaved. And you say, Paul, when did you get that kind of haircut? You going to play quarterback for the Chicago Bears next year? And you say, when did you get that haircut? And Paul said, I got it in Jerusalem. And you say, what for? What is that? Took a Jewish vow. You say, what? You took a Jewish vow? Paul, I never thought you'd take a Jewish vow. I mean, you're the fellow that wrote Colossians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 5. You warned us about going back and lapsing the old legalism of Judaism. And here you go, Paul. I've lost my confidence in you. I thought you were a field of wheat, and now I see a tear tendency in your life. You look at an Abraham, and you see a man who left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. And you say, what a man. There's the field of wheat if I ever saw it. There's a good man if I ever saw one. I'll guarantee you, that's a good man. And then one day you see Abraham leaving the promised land and going down to Egypt because he doesn't have faith to believe that God can care for him while the famine's in the land. And you say, I can't believe it. I've lost my faith in preachers. I've lost my faith in humanity. I'll tell you, everybody's a hypocrite.
I've lost my faith. There's a man, if I've ever had confidence in a man in my life, I had confidence in Abraham. Now look at him. And look at him down there in Egypt. He's got that little gal working for him named Hagar. He brought her back to the promised land, and then Sarah couldn't get pregnant with Abraham, so he got Hagar pregnant, and he fathered a legitimate child. I've lost my faith in Christianity. There was a good man, I thought. I thought he was a good man. I wonder if anybody's sincere anymore. You thought you saw a field of wheat, and you found in Abraham's field a tendency of tares. You saw an Apostle Peter, and you said, boy, that's a good man. What a man. That's the man who's the listed one, listed first in all the list of the apostles. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, and so forth. That's a good man. Boy, what a Christian that fella is. That's the one who said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the one who said, all men may leave you, Jesus, but I'll guarantee you one thing, I'll never leave you. Boy, I'm going to put my confidence in that fella. He's a field of wheat if I ever saw one. And then one day I listened to him as he curses. And I say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I had confidence in him. I've lost my confidence in all apostles now. I've lost my confidence in all preachers now. Here the guy's been out yonder cursing and denied the faith and denied the church and denied the Savior. I thought I'd found a field of wheat, but suddenly I find there tares even in the life of the Apostle Peter. You look at a David, and you see a David, and you say, boy, there's a great man. There's a field of wheat if I ever saw one. Oh, my, listen to him as he sings, and listen to that beautiful music as he plays his harp. And listen to those psalms that he wrote, and listen to him as he sings his own psalms. And watch him as he takes the sling and kills the Goliath. And watch him as he takes his own hands and slays a bear. And watch him as he takes his own hands and kills a lion. Boy, that's a man after my own heart. Man after God's own heart, too. And he said, boy, that's a man. And then one day you say, oh, I can't believe what happened. David, man after God's own heart. Why, if there ever was a field of wheat, that's David. And then you see the tares begin to grow, and you see the story of Bathsheba and the story of Uriah. And you say, I've about lost my faith in human nature. I'm not going to go to church anymore. Church is full of hypocrites. I've lost my faith in human nature. What you've done is you have noticed that there's always bad in every good. There's always a tare in every field of wheat. You see a Moses, and you say, now, boy, there's a great guy. What a meek fella he is. Meekest man in the whole world. And then one day as you look at that field thinking it's a field of wheat, all of a sudden you see Moses lose his temper and smite the rock twice. You see him number the people for war, and God says, Moses, you just lost your ticket to the Holy Land. You're not going to take your trip this year. You're not going to get to go in. You'll see it, but you won't go in. And you say, what? Moses lost his temper? Why, I never thought I'd hear that. I never thought I'd see meek Moses lose his temper and pure David lose his virtue. I never thought I would see faithful Abraham lose his faith. I never thought I would see loyal Barnabas lose his loyalty. I never thought I would see separated Paul lose his separation. Look at the Daniel. And you say, boy, there's a guy you can trust. You can hang your hat on that fellow, I guarantee you, and you can depend on him. Boy, if ever is a field of wheat, it's old Daniel. And then you come to a time when Daniel, when it's time for the Israelites to come back to Promised Land to rebuild the temple, and you don't find Daniel's name listed there. You know why? Because Daniel went to the University of the Chaldeans and got hooked up with the wrong crowd and did not come back. I don't care who you are. You're not going to run with the wrong crowd and turn out right. You're not going to do it. And he went to the heathen university, and there he got influenced, and you check the list of all the folks that went back after the bondage. You won't find Daniel's name there. Why, Daniel, who stood up against the king, and Daniel who said, I'm going to pray. I don't care what you say. I'm going to pray like I always have prayed. And Daniel was willing to risk his life and go into the lion's den. I say, boy, if there ever was a field of wheat, that's it. And all of a sudden I look and see his influence being influenced by the pagan Chaldean people, and I see Daniel unwilling to come back. And I find that even in Daniel, that field of wheat that I thought I saw has some tares in it as I examine it more closely. I look at Jeremiah, and I see him as he weeps for his people and say, boy, there's a field of wheat if I ever saw it. And I find that Jeremiah got discouraged and decided he wanted to quit and turn back. I look at Elijah, and I say, boy, there's a field of wheat. Nothing bad about him. I'll guarantee you that's a guy you can trust He'll turn out right. All of a sudden, Jezebel said, I'll get a hold of him and kill him. Elijah said, no, you won't kill me, honey. I'm taking off. Elijah takes off running and hides under the juniper tree, just a feeling sorry for himself, thinks he's the only one left. And I say, I can't believe that. I've lost my faith in preachers. I've lost my faith in Christianity. I wonder if anybody is sincere. Looks like the whole church is full of hypocrites.
I see a Noah. 120 years I watch him build that ark. 120 years I hear him preach his sermons. 120 years I see him walk with God. And now the flood comes and is gone and Noah and his family is preserved. What? Who is that fellow drunk?
That's Noah! Noah! I don't believe it!
I've lost my confidence in all preachers. I've lost my confidence in all shipbuilders. I can't believe it!
Why, if ever was a man I thought was true, it was Noah.
By the way, while you're listening, conversely so, you sometimes think you found a worthless field of weeds, too, and a worthless field of tares. And all of a sudden, you find a flock of wheat, or a shock of wheat, in that tares. It was Will Rogers who said, I never met a man I didn't like. And I want to say this too, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me now. I want to say this. I never met a man who was all bad either. And I never met a man in my life of what I didn't feel like if I loved him and nurtured him, God could still use him in some way.
You sometimes think you found a field of wheat and then you're shocked to find that in all good men there's some bad. Then you think you found a field of tares and weeds only to find that in all bad men there's some good.
You see an Esau and you say, boy, what a corrupt guy he is, selling his birthright for a bowl of chili and not caring about spiritual things. What a corrupt heathen he is. And all of a sudden you're shocked as you look at him forgiving Jacob. And as he forgives Jacob for all that Jacob has done, you say there must be some good and that'll reprobate after all. You see, a Rahab sold her body for money and made her living off the lustful desires of evil men. And you say, boy, what an awful woman she must be.
But even resting in the breast of that harlot, that woman that sold that which is most decent and most precious to her, for a few paltry dollars so that men might satisfy their lustful desires and cravings. In that woman there was something that said, I'll protect the men of God. I'll protect the spies when they come. And inside the breast of that wicked, adulterous, harlot woman,
there was something good that could be used for God. I was reading this week about Cyrus the king. And Cyrus the king, we could say nothing good about that heathen king. What a wicked, vile creature Cyrus was. But wait a minute. If you examine more closely, you'll find it was Cyrus that let Zerubbabel go back to start rebuilding the temple of God. And in the heathen breast and the wicked breast of that wicked, vile king, there was something good. I'm saying it's time that God's people quit worshiping each other and thinking that anybody's perfect and realize all of us are weak and all of us have feet of clay. And it's also time we stop to realize that the worst among us deserves our love and our attention and our nurture and our prayers and our kindness and our courtesies. Why? Because in the best of us there's some good, bad. In the worst of us there's some good. I look at Pilate and I say, boy, if there ever was a guy that's reprobate as Pilate, about the time I want to cast him into the outer darkness or the fires of torment, I see him washing his hands and saying, I'm washing my hands of this man. He did not want to have a part. He was a coward. But didn't want to have a part. There was some good there. I even see Judas sorry that he betrayed our Lord and placed the kiss of betrayal upon his brow and sold him with 30 pieces of silver. And I see him as he throws down that 30 pieces of silver and goes out and hangs himself and tries to seek repentance. I see some good even in Judas Iscariot. Good and the bad live side by side. The good and the bad live side by side in every man. The good and the bad live side by side in every deed. In every deed. In the good deeds you do, there's bad that dwells there. Isaiah said in chapter 64 and verse 6, our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. What does that mean? That means our benevolence is flecked with pride.
Our religion is often stained with selfishness, and our convictions are mingled sometimes with Pharisaism. I'm saying there's nothing that human flesh has ever touched that's purely good and unmixed with bad. And you say, boy, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get the bad and separate it. God said, no, let the good and the bad go together. It's not your job. Good and bad live side by side. Good and bad live side by side in every person. Good and bad live side by side in every deed. Good and bad also live side by side in every institution. I want to say this tonight. There's no perfect institution. I think Howells Anderson College is the greatest college in the whole world. But Howells Anderson College has both good and bad within its walls. I believe First Baptist Church of Hammond is the greatest church on the face of the earth and maybe the greatest church since Jerusalem or Antioch. I don't know that, but I believe it. I want to make it known tonight and serve notice to you there dwells both good and bad in First Baptist Church of Hammond. You came to pastor school. You thought you'd found the church of wheat, didn't you? Boy, you came to pastor school. We put our best foot forward and showed you our living room and didn't invite you in the bedroom. We let you see what First Baptist Church does. We told you about our soul winning. We told you about the organization. We told you about our bus ministry. You came here and walked in heaven for a week and you said, I finally found the church. That's what it ought to be. I finally found a church that's all wheat. And then you moved to Hammond and said, I'm going to be a part of that church. And you came and found out that our flesh is like your flesh. And our feet are of clay like your feet are of clay. We're human like you're human. I'm simply saying that all institutions, the good and the bad, live side by side. You go to chapel at the college and you say, I found the perfect college, and you enroll there, and you'll find you haven't found the perfect chancellor. You haven't found the perfect president. You haven't found the perfect vice president. You haven't found the perfect faculty. For within the breast of every man there dwells both bad and good. And within the organizations built by men, there also dwells both bad and good. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, let both grow together. Now what did he mean? Now follow me carefully. Here's the message. Here's the practical application. Hear me carefully now. What did he mean? Jesus meant this. Allow yourself to be bad. Don't misunderstand that. He's not saying, let yourself be bad and be glad you are bad. He's saying allow yourself to be bad. Let me illustrate what I mean. You got saved. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in heaven. All of a sudden after you got baptized and came into the church, you had the joy of God in your soul and you said, I'll never take another drink as long as I live. I'll never smoke another cigarette as long as I live. I'll never say another curse word as long as I live. I'll thank, and boy, you thought that you'd cross the Red Sea and all the little Egyptians had been drowned, and you'd have no temptation anymore, and then all of a sudden, to your shock and dismay, you said something you thought you'd never say again. Or you did something you thought you'd never do again. Or you went somewhere you thought you'd never go again. And you said, oh, my soul, I never thought I'd do this again. Now you listen to me, you're going to do it again. Only difference in a saved man, lost man, saved man's got the Holy Spirit in him to tell him what to do and to correct him when he does wrong. But you got the same flesh in you you had before you got saved. All you got now is somebody to fuss with the flesh when it does wrong. And I'm simply saying this, you've got to stop and realize, are you listening to me? You've got to stop and realize that in your own body there dwells both bad and good. Don't get down on yourself when you do bad. Don't give up on yourself. There's some good there. God can still use you. God has to use sinners. That's all he has. I heard Dr. John Ryan say so many times around the country. He said, I'd say, oh God, it's a shame. All the smart people seem like they serve the devil, and all the rich people serve the devil, and all the high class people serve the devil. Says, oh God, that all you got's a bunch of us old sinners saved by grace and sort of crude and base and ignorant people to serve you, Lord. And he said, one day I heard the Lord say, John, that's the way I planned it. Because if the crude people can serve me and get victories, I get the glory for that. If all the intellectual people they win the victories, I don't get the glory for that, but I get the glory. I'm simply saying that since every man is both bad and good, God has nobody to use but sinners. Thank God! Sinners saved by grace is all he has. And God says, I want to use you. Don't get down on yourself.
when you find some tares growing in your own wheat field and you thought there'd never be a tare there again, don't give up on yourself. Don't get down on yourself. God can still use you. And you say, next, not only allow yourself to have bad, but allow all men to have bad. Now, here's the most important thing I'm going to say tonight. Allow all men to have bad. You met a good Christian. Boy, you said, if there was a Christian that's good, that she is or he is. And you said, boy, that's the best Christian. If there was a Christian, it's that lady. I'll tell you for sure, that's a wonderful Christian lady. And you said, there's a field of wheat. There's no tares there. And one day, she disappointed you. One day, he did something you never thought he would do. Now listen to me, folks. Don't cast him aside. Don't turn from him. Let me remind you, you new Christians here, let me remind you that the man that stands behind this pulpit has both bad and good. There's flesh. My feet are made of clay. My hands are made of flesh. You pinch me and I'll hurt. I get tired. I'm sleepy. And I get weary. And sometimes I lose my patience. And sometimes I have pride, and sometimes the flesh comes out and manifests itself. When you find out that I'm flesh, don't be disappointed in me. I've been flesh all along. That's one of our problems around here. The principal isn't perfect. We don't like him. The youth director isn't perfect. We don't like him. You know, why don't you start putting the same criteria up for yourself as you do for other people? Why don't you demand from yourself the same thing you demand of other people? Simply saying, allow men to have bad. You met a good Christian. You said, boy, there's a field of wheat if I ever saw one. There's a field of wheat. That's it. He disappointed you. Now, folks, you're going to be disappointed. There's only one that's good, and that's the one who has scars in his hands. And that's the one who overcame death and the grave, and that's the lovely Savior, and that's the Prince of Peace, and that's the Lily of the Valley, and that's the Bright and Morning Star, and that's the altogether lovely one, and that's the way, the truth, the life, and that's the Rose of Sharon, and the Bright and Morning Star, and that is the seed of Genesis, and the Passover Lamb of Exodus, and the Scapegoat of Leviticus, and the Brazen Serpent of Numbers, and the Lawgiver of Deuteronomy, and the Savior of Joshua, and the Judge of Judges, and the Kinsman Redeemer of Ruth, and the prophet, priest, and king of Samuel, and the King of kings, and the lawgiver of Chronicles, and the temple rebuilder of Ezra, and the wall rebuilder of Nehemiah, and the deliverer of Israel of Esther, and the friend of Job, and the psalm writer of the Psalms, and the truth of the Proverbs, and the preacher of the Ecclesiastes, and the wonderful counselor of Isaiah, and the lover of the Song of Solomon, and the weeping prophet of Jeremiah, and the Lamentation one of Lamentations, and the temple rebuilder of Ezekiel, and the stone without hands of Daniel, and the prophet coming in Bethlehem, Judah, of the minor prophets. I'm saying, only one is good. Look to him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Don't look at me, I'll disappoint you. Don't look at him, he's a good man, but he'll disappoint you. Don't look at him, he's a good man, but he'll disappoint you. Don't look at him, he's a lousy fellow. Allow all men to have bad. Do not turn from anybody. Do not give up on anybody. Do not turn away from anybody when you see his tears. There is wheat there. Thank God the tares have wheat. Don't criticize them because you see the wheat has some tares. Illustration. A long time ago, I decided to accept the fact that everybody will sometime criticize me. And I decided not to require men to have 100% of loyalty to me for me to think they're good men. Everybody in this room sometimes is going to say, I wish the fellow'd know when to quit. Everybody in this room sometimes is going to say, I just don't think you ought to talk like that to young people and misbehave. Somebody's going to say, I don't think you ought to talk to the ushers like that. Somebody's going to say, and I allow that. I do not require you to make 100% in your talking about me for me to think of you as being a good person. Why? I know you've got flesh there with your spirit. I know you've got tares with your wheat. I know you're human. I know you have feet of clay. It's time that God's people let each other realize that we know we have feet of clay.
again, it's time we gave folks the benefit of the doubt every once in a while. Don't judge him on the basis of his tares. You have them too. Don't judge him on the basis of his treatment of you. Somebody can treat you poorly and treat everybody else in the world properly, and they're bad if they mistreat you. You judge them on how they treat you. Oh, he did so-and-so to me. He's a rascal. Don't you think you ought to judge him on how he treats everybody and not just you? Or he can treat just you well and nobody and treat everybody else poorly, and he's a good guy. I decided a long time ago a fella could be a pretty decent guy and not like Jack Hiles. I can't say that I enjoy that. I can't say that I'm pleased. I do not enjoy enemies. I do not enjoy criticism. I've not yet learned to rejoice and be exceeding glad when men speak evil of me. I've not learned that yet. I wish I could, and I'm working on it, and sometimes I get close. But there's some people in this world that don't like me that I think have an awful lot of wheat still in their field. And I'm not going to cast them aside because I see a few tares or because of what they've done to me, tried to hurt me. I'm not going to cast them aside. I'm going to believe that there's some good still left there. I'm going to try to find the wheat I can and harvest the wheat I can. I'm going to try to find the good I can and use the good that I can. Oh, I wish I could take the New Testament churches in America and take the Christian people in America and teach us all to be Christian and our appraisal of each other and our treatment of each other. Use what good you can find. Be patient with him. I'm helping a fellow sell a car. While I'm helping him sell it, I'm driving it. Because I wrecked the one I drive. It was this woman driver. She had a beard, but she's bound to have effeminate tendencies. Anyway, and the guy, one of our young people, a fine young man, he wanted to sell his car, and I'm trying to sell it for him. And while I'm trying to sell it, I'm driving it. Making the payments. And he has a little thing on the bumper, on the license plate in front. It says, "Don't criticize my driving. Just get off the sidewalk." So if you don't like my driving, then get off the sidewalk. You see, folks, the honest, simple truth is, as we get to know each other, he whom we thought was perfect is imperfect. And the one who we thought was only wheat exhibits a few tares. Why don't we just realize that everybody here has some tares? But why don't we also realize that nobody here has so many tares but they don't have some wheat? And we can take the wheat that we find in people and try to use it for good. And be patient with those who have more tares than we have. Got a note this morning. I want to find out who wrote it. Little boy. Signed his first name. Told me he loved me. Told me I was the best preacher in the world. He's off to a great start. And then he said, "I try to tell my daddy what your sermons are about, but I can't remember them." And then down the bottom, he broke my heart. He said, "Why didn't you speak to me the other day when I spoke to you in the hallway?" And I wept. If you've seen me walk down a hallway, you know I try to speak to every little boy I can. And to most of the little girls. And to think that one little boy said, "Hello, preacher. Hello, Brother Hiles." And I neglected to say hello to him. Just breaks my heart. It also reminds me that I'm flesh. It also reminds me that I'm human. It also reminds me that this is a church of wheat and tares, pastored by a pastor of wheat and tares, led by a staff of wheat and tares, led by a board of deacons of wheat and tares, mostly tares, led by a choir whose bass section's all tares.
We're all human, folks.
And the closer we... Boy, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get my kids in that Christian school. Now, you've got them in the Christian school, but it's not as nice up close as it was at a distance. Now, by the way, you don't look as good to the school as you did before you got close either. We didn't know you were the kind going to come and gripe every time your little angel got spanked either. But you see, we knew you had tears before you got here. Now, Hammond Baptist High School has tears. Hammond Baptist Junior High School has tears. Howells Anderson College has tears. Why don't we stop and realize that nobody has so much wheat but what there is a tear that'll show up. And nobody has so many tares but what some place inside there's some wheat, if we'll just find it, that can be used as a blessing to other people. Not only should we allow ourselves to have bad without giving up on ourselves and losing faith in ourselves and quitting and turning back, not only should we allow others to have bad, but we also ought to allow churches to have bad. I said a while ago, people come to visit our church and they see all the folks walk down the aisle. They don't stop and realize that all the folks walk down the aisle. Probably 90% of the people in this room tonight never have brought anybody down the aisle. And they find we have some tares. They find we have a few gossips. It's a few. I think it's a few thousand, maybe a few hundred. But they find we have gossips here. We have critics here. We have disgruntles here. We're human. We have weaknesses. And they come across the country to get in the perfect church they thought they'd found. And they find that we're human too. And before you know it, they become disenchanted. Well, if that's what it is, I've lost all faith in Christians. Might be a pretty good idea to do that real quick-like. And put all your faith in Jesus. Why don't you just do it now and get it over with? Let's just all right now declare we've lost all faith in everybody. There's one fellow done it a long time ago. All of us are hypocrites. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our throat's an open sepulcher. With our mouth we've used deceit. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. We're all a bunch of sinners. But thank God, saved with the grace of God. And though we're not what we ought to be, thank God we will someday be like Him. And until then, we've got to have patience with each other because we've got to stop and realize that all of us, no matter how good, have tares, and all of us, no matter how bad, have some wheat. A man is elected deacon. He comes on the deacon board, thinks he's entered the 12 apostles. Let me remind you that in the 12 apostles, there was a Judas. Let remind you that in the 12 tribes, there was a Dan. Let remind you in every choir, there's a deacon, there's a bass section. And let me remind you, fellow says, boy, I went on the deacon board and I heard some of those fellows fuss at each other. Yeah, they're human. Yeah. And all the deacons we have are human. That's all we have to choose from. Yeah. Yeah. They're flesh. They have tares like you do. A parent enrolls his child in Hammond Baptist schools and dusts his hands off and says, that takes care of that. They'll turn out good. No, they won't, not necessarily. First place, if they turn out bad, it's going to be your fault. Good, it'll be your credit. But I'm simply saying that Hammond Baptist schools is not the millennium. Well, I'll tell you, that teacher mistreated my child. Well, why didn't you stop and think before you enrolled in that class, the child in that class, that teacher had flesh? I could have told you the teacher had flesh. A couple of times I've talked to some disgruntled parents. They don't hardly ever come to me because they go to Mr. O'Clair because I always send them to him. But a couple of times I've talked to disgruntled parents and the dad or mother one would say, I'll tell you what, that teacher did thus and so. I said, how do you know? Well, my child said it. I said, well, I suppose your child made a mistake. Are you calling my child a liar? Yep. I say, does your child always tell the truth? My child always tells the truth. I'll trust my child.
Then, sir, would you like to hear what your child told us about you?
Old Dr. Rice used to say, that'll make a better come. Now, the better, the quicker you stop and realize, before you ever enroll that child in that class, that teacher has tares as well as wheat, better off you're going to be. And that way you won't get mad and throw a hissy when you find some tares in the classroom. And before you join this church, you better stop and realize that the man behind this pulpit is a human being. And you'll find he has tares. After a while, you'll find some weaknesses here. You'll find a man as sincere as any man you have found in your life, and a man that tries as hard as any man you ever found in your life, but you'll also find somebody who's flesh.
You enrolled at Hiles Anderson College. This is it. This is it. And then you found some tares in Hiles Anderson College. You found some bad with the good. Don't be a church hopper. There are people all over this area and all over this country. They go to a church and they touch everybody's hands and find their flesh. And they hop somewhere else. There's a field of wheat over there. It always looks like wheat from a distance. And they'll hop over there for a while. They find out there are tares in that field of wheat. And they'll get mad there. A young preacher called me not long ago, not very far from here. He said some members joined our church from your church, and they told me some things about some of your folks, and he said, I preached a whole sermon about your church, what's wrong with it. He said, but Brother Howes, they've come back now to your church. Have they told you anything bad about us? And I grinned and said, yeah, and I'm preaching on it next Sunday morning. You say, you mean, didn't you ball him out? I didn't ball him out. I knew before he called me that he was flesh. I knew he was young. I'm not mad at the dirty buzzard. No way. I wasn't surprised to find a tear in his life. I love him. He made a mistake. All human beings do. We're all flesh. There's bad in the best of us and good in the worst of us. Don't be a school hopper. Expect hypocrites. Realize that we're all flesh. And let's, with the grace of God, look at every Christian in the whole world and every church in the whole world and every school in the whole world, and let's say, there's some wheat there. There are also some tares. And when we find the tares, we'll not be surprised because we expected to find them. We knew they were there. And we'll not lose our faith in Him nor lose our love for Him if He doesn't do what we think He ought to do. Or if she doesn't do what we think she ought to do. We'll just realize that they, like we, are flesh. And then, when we see somebody that looks all bad, let's don't believe it. Teacher, that guy in your class you'd like to hang tomorrow morning. Who would like to hang you tonight? I don't care who he is. There's some wheat there. In that field of weeds. It's your job to find it. And pull it out and use it. I don't care who it is. There's a good in every bad kid. It's our job to be patient with people when we find out that there are tares in the wheat. And then we find out that there's more wheat than tares. It's our job to look with kindness and love and say, somewhere inside that life, there's a shock of wheat. And I'm going to find it. That's a wonderful way to live. When people mistreat you, it doesn't get you bitter that way. You knew they were human before you ever mistreated you. Folks scandalize you and gossip about you. You didn't think they were perfect anyway. Or somebody breaks your heart and you find they've gone into sin and done something you thought they'd never do. Don't turn your back on them. They had tares all along. You say, well, the house, I just lost faith in humanity. Great. Great. So have I. My humanity and yours. My Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. So what am I going to do? I'm going to look to Jesus. And I'm going to say, my, what a beautiful field of wheat. Not a tear at all. And I'm going to look at His people and say all of them have tares with the wheat and wheat with the tares. We're human. We're doing our best to live for Christ on our way to glory. And I'm going to have patience with them. And I'm going to believe that somewhere in the meanest one of them, there's a little bit of good. I don't know why I thought about this. I just don't know why. It's a horrible way to end a sermon. But you remember the little story, you've told it and you've heard it, and I've told it and you've heard me tell it, about the little troublemaker in class. He's sitting back there and he recognized a kid who used to wear short breeches to class. Remember that? And my mom used to spank me with switches off a tree on bare legs. That's where the word term hot pants came from. And the little boy was sitting in class one day, and out in the playground, he'd sit down in an ant bed. And ants had crawled up his little short britches. He was sitting in class, he was trying to behave, but he couldn't, and he's wiggling and wiggling and wiggling. The teacher said, Johnny, you sit still. He said, yes, ma'am. He tried to sit still, but try though he may, he couldn't. He wiggled. Johnny, sit still! He said, Miss Jones, I'm trying to sit still. There's something going on back here you don't know nothing about. And I'll guarantee you, in every life that you're disappointed in, and in everybody you've criticized lately, and everybody that you've lost your confidence in, there's something going on that you don't know nothing about. And why don't you just let the tares grow with the wheat until the end time, and the angels will come and divide the tares from the wheat. Until then, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm just going to love them all. I'll try to understand them all and realize that all of us walk in feet of clay. Our Heavenly Father,